Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. This is our end of year best of the studio episode. So thank you for downloading this episode. 2018 has been a pretty good year for the podcast, more listeners than ever. We've had some huge, huge live shows, so thank you for everyone who's been coming out to shows in Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne. Hopefully we'll get to other parts of the country in 2019. So over the next 2 weeks, so this week is the best of the studio eps, and next week is the best of the live episodes. I've separated them just because, look, the live episodes get more downloads, and it's just not fair if the whole list is live episodes. So I thought I'd separate them because, you know, the studio apps are really good. They're really good. So what I've done is there's a few rules I've set for this. Okay, so I can't choose my favorite ones because they're like my children. I love them all equally except for a few of them. So this is the rule. So most downloaded episodes in the first month of them being released. Because, you know, if I just do the whole year, the ones early in the year, they get more downloads just because people kind of come to the podcast late, they go back and they listen to the back catalogue. That is fine. Welcome to those people who do that. This might be the first time you've ever listened to the podcast. You might go, I'll just listen to the best ofs. Welcome. You probably won't understand it. I'd go back and listen to the other ones. But you're welcome to listen to this one if that's your thing. So, first month. So, some of the episodes aren't eligible. Even though I think just by looking at the projected total, they're probably going to make it. They'd probably have a bigger download than others. So, but that's all right. Bad luck, Carl. Bad luck, Tommy. Dill, Blakey. Your episode's not valid. So what we're going to do is just go through the top five episodes, most downloaded episodes of the year in the studio. So our first one is episode 113. So it has Bart Freeband, Alex Ward, Tim Clark, and Alastair Trombley-Birchall. Now, this episode has one of my favourite stories that I came up with for someone else to lie about. And it seemed like a pretty innocuous story, but the fact that ATB tells one of the most ridiculous things what the tattoo was going to be is up there with one of my favourite parts of the show in the last 4 years. It is so great and so dumb that it made me laugh a lot in the studio. So this is Yeah Nah Yeah from episode 113 with Bart Freeband, Alex Ward, Tim Clark, and Alastair Trombley-Birchall. So to Alex, now when Al was 18, he booked in to get a tattoo of the Batman logo on his arm. When he went to get it, though, his friend who was giving him the lift cancelled on him. Looking back, Al is so grateful that they cancelled because now he doesn't have a Batman logo tattooed onto his arm. Yeah or nah?
How old were you?
I was 18.
18. Where were you living?
I just finished high school, but I was on a trip to Canada. Right after high school, I went straight to Canada. So
you were in Canada?
I was in Canada at the time. Okay. But I was just staying at my grandma's. In Montreal.
That's nice. So you're in Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay. And have you always been a massive Batman fan?
What? No, but it was a few years after the Batman and Robin, and I just had really liked that one.
Which Batman and Robin?
Like, you know, there was Batman Forever, then there was Batman and Robin. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I realize now that it wasn't a good movie. Yeah.
Is that the one with but Poison Ivy?
That had Poison Ivy. It also had Mr. Freeze as Arnold Schwarzenegger. And and also Batgirl, Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
Is Bane also in that one? A really bad Bane? There's one that's got a really bad Bane.
No, don't.
Yeah, real bad Bane.
Is he bad Bane?
Bad Bane.
I can't remember Bane now.
Yeah. I gotta say that Batman tattoo really would have come in handy when you were trying to pretend to be depressed.
You would have not had to do any assignments.
There's a chance it would have said Batman and Robin.
It was around the same time. So is it colored?
No, it wouldn't have been colored at the time. There wasn't that kind of technology.
Everything was still black and white.
Everything.
Alistair, by the way, listeners, is 85 years old.
No, but I thought
Alistair only got color tattoos when his auntie Jack started getting colored in.
I wasn't aware of color in tattoos until about 3 years ago.
All right. So I think that's more about you than the world.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, at the time, I was always assuming it was going to be that kind of tattoo blue.
All right. So this is a plain black or, like, blue, just no frills, any particular details.
Was it the Batman, just Batman on its own, or was it
the special
Batman and Robin one they did for the movie with little Robin in the middle?
No, it would have actually been, like the sort of like the font of the Batman and Robin movie, but it would have just said Batman potentially and Robin.
Oh, so it wasn't. Wait, oh. It wasn't this is Batman logo. It was just the words Batman.
That's actually one of the worst tattoos I can think of, and I wish.
Because when I was a kid, the Batman logo, especially in those early days, I used to have nightmares about it because it used to look like teeth. It used to look like a mouth and teeth kind of thing. And I never liked that, and I wouldn't want to have that kind of feel carried around on my arm at all times. So if you're really clear, this is not some weird mouth fanged teeth thing.
Part of just Batman is confronting your fears. Mm. Yeah. You know, that is part of what Batman is.
Yeah, but then also solving problems. Yeah. You know?
We were at home one night and the words Batman flew through a window.
Yeah, I had the word Batman fall on me as a child.
Terrified of the font.
What do you think, Alex?
Yep.
You think this is true?
Yeah.
You are incorrect. Oh,
he actually has on his arm.
Yeah, I did get it.
I wanted it to be true.
Oh, so bad. So
bad. It's the word Batman and Robin.
And potentially Robin? Batman and potentially
Robin. I would have decided when I got there.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you got a cover-up tattoo that says Bruce Wayne over it.
Number five on our best of list. So coming in at number four, very early episode. So this is episode 93. I think it was like the second or third episode of the year. It has Frank Woodley, Sammy J, Geraldine Hickey, and Daniel Tobias. So this was Dan's first time on the show. Me and Dan did a show together in 2017 called Josh Earl's Festival. Dan is one of the loveliest people in comedy, and he was super great on this episode. Also, it was Frank Woodley's first time on the pod, only time on the pod actually. Hopefully, I didn't make him lie, and he didn't like doing it. It's really funny. I almost didn't like. I'd been asking Frank for a while, and you know he's a really busy man. And this is true. I was on a cruise ship where there is absolutely no reception at all. I had my phone, and then just out of nowhere, my phone rang, and it was so weird because no one on the ship, their phone was working. And so everyone looked at me like, how come this guy has reception? And what it was Frank Woodley saying, hey, Josh, can I do your podcast this week? And so it was very, very lucky that I had reception, and it's very, very lucky that he came on. So this round is knowing me, knowing you. I like this because as the host, I get to tell some stories. I get to lie. I get to participate. In the Christmas episode, Joe Stanley said that I'm not a very good liar. Listen to this episode, and I think you'll find I'm a very good liar. So this is also one of those stories that I'd kind of had kicking around for a while, just going, how am I gonna get this into the podcast? And then Sammy J came on. I thought, all right, people will believe that Sammy J did this. I won't ruin it. So this is episode 93 with Sammy J, Frank Woodley, Jared and Hickey, and Daniel Tobias. It is the number 4 most downloaded episode of the year. Okay, this round is called Knowing Me, Knowing You. Now, in this round, you're given a fact about somebody else on the panel. You have to determine whether it, in fact, happened to them or it happened to me. Okay, you can ask as many questions as you want. If you get it right, you get a point. If you're incorrect, the person who the fact may or may not be about, they will get the point. So, to Dan, was it Sammy or myself who, as a child, was obsessed with the TV show Family Matters? So much so that we taped every single episode, and if we were out, we wrote a set of rules for our parents to tape it for us, and the rules stated how they had to pause the ads so we could fit more episodes onto the tape. Is that me or Sammy J? You can ask us as many questions as you want. By the look of your face, you have a lot of questions.
Well, it just sounds very Sammy J.
Oh, come on.
But I've listened to this show before, and it's the kind of thing that you'd be surprised. Like, you know, I bet you Josh is writing the questions and he's like, oh, he'll know. You know, this will be he'll definitely go for Sammy J. Yeah, but clearly it's my... I've done something that's very Sammy J-esque here.
We've offended us both. Yeah. So you gotta ask this question.
All right. Family Matters.
Yes.
Steve Urkel, recall. Oh,
the Winslows?
Yeah, I didn't really watch that at all.
Mm. So I'm not even.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm not going to. If I ask a Family Matters question, I'm not going to know whether it's correct or not.
Oh, well. We might be unlucky then, Sammy.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about Family Matters, Jez?
Yeah,
did you watch it?
Steve Urkel.
Yeah.
The Winslows.
He's the crocodile hunter, isn't he? No, I've Steve Urkel. I think I've got a vague... So, you know what I think what I know about Family Matters is I've got a feeling on my news feed, more than once, I've had a thing that comes up that goes, look at what Steve Urkel looks like now.
Yeah.
But I don't. I didn't look.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he looks like now or what he looked like then, but I've got a feeling that he...
Well, he had big glasses and braces and high pants, and he was the typical 90s nerd, but now he just looks like he's cool. Like, that look is fine.
Yeah, right.
But then on the show, he would transform into Stefan, and on that he would be very cool, and you can just tell the actor would be going, hey... I'm a pretty good-looking guy. Can you please get the glasses off me so when I go out into nightclubs, people actually want to come up and talk to me? I'm sure that's what it is.
You see, it's not the guy. There was another show, and there was a guy called Shriek or Screech.
Screech. That's not Saved by the Bell.
But different type of... I mean, same type of show.
Mm. I'm getting a Steve Urkel in my mind. Was his Family Matters, are they a black family?
Yeah.
And he used to go... That was how he used to laugh. And I would do a stunning rendition in the playground.
Yeah, that's a good clue.
So we've noticed. And it's the same cop from Die Hard.
It is, who plays a cop in the show as well, which is a weird thing. To be typecast as a cop in two very different shows.
Mm.
Dan, what part of, you know, really diligently asking your parents to archive your favourite show and giving them a few written instructions, which part of that do you define as, ooh, quintessential, pure, undiluted Sammy J? Just out of interest.
It sounds like the kind of thing you would turn into a 1-hour, like, comedy festival show.
Just milk that anecdote dry.
I mean that in the nicest possible way.
I take it as a comment.
I'm going to go with Sammy J.
You are incorrect. It was
me. He played you like a bloody fiddle, Tobias.
Wow.
It was. I had a set of rules, and the rules were, okay, the first ad in every single ad break will be an ad for a TV show on the station. Press pause. Ads, they go for 3 minutes. Keep your eye on the clock, eye on the TV. The last ad in the rotation will be another ad for another TV show on the station coming up next.
Wow.
Get the remote in your hand and get ready to unpause when that's finished. And then I'll be able to fit, because it's 22 minutes on a 3-hour tape, I'd fit like however many episodes on.
How many times did they fuck it up?
Every time, because they're not going to give a shit for these rules. I had them written there. I think Mum did it occasionally. Dad was like, I don't care. I'm not even going to tape it for you. It's annoying me.
So good.
But Sammy, did you know this about Josh?
No, not until.
I just told him in the kitchen before.
It does. In your defence, it is a very Sammy J thing to do. I was a religious TV taper. I used to high speed dub. No, that's audio cassettes. I used to dub, you know, the tapes. So I'd remove the ads in post production because my parents didn't have time for that shit.
Okay, all right. So to Sammy, now was it Geraldine or was it myself who got in trouble for sharing a photo of a wedding that was taking place at the airport in Adelaide? So we got in trouble. We were sharing a photo of a wedding that we were not invited to at the airport in Adelaide.
And so you were sharing a photo, did you say? Like, yes. You put it online?
Yeah. Yes.
So sort of observing. So, okay. Well, so, Jess, so you were walking past a wedding at the airport?
At the Adelaide airport.
No one, you didn't know anyone there?
Didn't know anyone there, but it was out in the open.
In like on the concourse or in that nice new bit? Or
in the... Just in that front part, you know, when you just before you go get your bags. Mm-hmm. Just there, out in the open, they had chairs set up and they had like a little picket fence around the side. There were invited guests, mm-hmm. but you could stand on the other side of the picket fence and watch these people get married.
And so you stood and watched?
Yeah,
and
why wouldn't you?
At what point did you decide to snap away?
I took a few snaps.
Yep.
And
what did you, and you post, you just put on your personal pub or your public Facebook page?
On my maybe on all of them.
And what was the caption, do you recall?
Yeah, it was like a bloody Loverbogen wedding.
Okay. Josh, what was your caption?
Mine was, when you spend too much time focusing on the honeymoon and not enough time on the wedding venue.
Oh. Wowee. And what happened? How did you get into trouble for it?
Because I posted it on Instagram and Twitter, mm-hmm. and someone, a guest of the wedding or someone who knew them, followed me and then was like, oh, this is my auntie, or I can't remember who it was, but yeah, you know, you're making fun of it. It's not very nice. And I honestly felt mm-hmm. bad, but it was just, I've just got my bag. Oh, I haven't even got my bags yet. I've just got off the plane and there's a wedding taking place.
At an airport?
Yeah.
How did you get in trouble, Jez?
I said it was a bogan wedding.
Well, yes. Yeah, but how did someone see that comment and relate it back to you?
I don't know. It was actually the... I do know. That's a lie.
Yeah, she's stumbling. She's falling apart. I'm going to go with Josh.
You are going to lock it in, me?
I'm actually going to lock that in. That was too much of a stumble.
You are incorrect.
Oh!
I played you like a fool!
She acted her way to a point. There's no trust left in this room. Everyone's... Yeah.
It was on Valentine's Day.
Brilliant.
About 5 years ago.
Oh.
And it was the daughter of the bride. And I still to this day do not know how she came across it. Like it was on Twitter and she responded to me on Twitter saying, how dare you call my mum a bug? You don't know her. You don't know anything. And I was like, well. And I said, and then the husband, the newly married husband was there going, what's going on? And they got married at the airport because that's where they first met. He was from America. They met online. Their first meeting was at the Adelaide airport. It was beautiful. I hadn't watched a lot of the wedding. I didn't have anywhere
streaming.
To be. Yeah. So, and, you know, and for me, I'm a bogan. So it was like, I get this. I understand it. So for me, it was a term of endearment. And I explained that to the husband, who was like, oh, okay, I get it. And I said, wish you all the best. He goes, thanks very much. That's really nice. And the daughter did not want a piece of it at all.
Did you have that horrible low bowel moan, like feeling really
yeah.
bad when it happened? Was it
yeah.
Like, did you take it off or stuff like that? Or was it too far
gone? No, it's still there.
It was just mid-bowel. It wasn't like yeah. deep.
So there you go, listeners. You know exactly where to find it. 5 years ago, February 14, you can just go back and find it on Jez's thing. Well done. Okay, so to Jez, was it Frank or myself who would purposely annoy our older brother by calling him Victor, which is not his name, until he would beat us up? Then when he would stop, we would call him Victor again and it would start back up again.
Victor, what's his real name? Was it Michael?
Tim.
So not the one that... Is this the one that got shitty for not getting the car for his 18?
No, I'm the youngest of seven. So there's Michael and then there's David got the set of coits, but then Tim was the one who was just a bit older than me.
And
who,
Tim's in the middle?
Tim's in the middle, yeah.
Why Victor?
Because of Victor Mature,
uh-huh.
Who was an actor who was in a film called The Robe.
Yep.
And I just thought it was funny because... It was like my way of ironically, rather than saying, oh, you're really mature, I'd just say, Good one, Victor. But he never knew that I was making a personal, ironic sort of, you know, once removed pun.
Okay. What did he think you meant by it?
He just felt tortured by the cryptic nature of it.
What did you call your older brother Victor?
Because there was a Victor at our school who smelt, and I just called him Victor as a quite a mean thing, but it was also that thing of just, you know, and I knew it would arc him up.
Who else would bash him?
He would beat up me. And then as soon as it stopped, he like kind of had enough. Yeah, all right, I'd beg, he didn't get off me. And then as soon as he got off me, Victor, and then just run away again. And then he threatened to break my Family Matters tapes. No, he wouldn't.
I'm going to go with Frank.
You are correct. It was Frank, yes. Point there,
Jez. That is pretty great stuff.
Well done. So youngest of seven.
Yeah.
Was it just an attention thing? You just wanted him to give you some attention?
Oh, look, my relationship with my brother Tim, we're you know, great friends now. But essentially, I mean, he was 3 years older than me, and he, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure that it's absolutely every relationship, you know, sibling relationship, particularly with boys, is like this, but it's very common, just where there's that constant, he bullied me constantly, but I also kind of thrived on it.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. Mm. I'd bring it, you know, I wanted his attention, but then, like, I cried every day until I was about 12, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like, quite honestly, because things would always escalate, and then that would be the little valve that would release.
I reckon I was exactly the same, because I was same with my brother. My brother was kind of the school bully as well. And I remember my younger brother once built this, he spent weeks building this Lego set, and we weren't rich enough to buy the proper set. So he made, like, the Death Star just out of your standard Lego. Like, just spent weeks doing it. And then he had it displayed it, and Mum and Dad were like, oh, that's great, Brenton, well done. And we're like, all right. And then he said to Jason, I bet you won't smash it. And Jason had a ball in his hand and just pelted it, and it just exploded. And it was just...
Wow.
Like, I still remember the scream that Brenton did. Like, he was so distraught. And Mum and Dad were both just shocked that Jason had the gall to do it. Like, and in Jason's defense, he was like, he dared me not to do it. Like, it's like, Yeah, that's older brothers. Are you an older brother?
I'm a younger brother.
Oh, okay. Mm. And you're the oldest, aren't you, Jez?
No, I'm the second youngest. I've got...
I just want to go... Sorry, just go back to the Death Star thing for a moment. I've just got this image of your brother before he throws the ball, like moving the thing away from his the visor that he's going to use, and him just using the force to throw the ball.
And Dan, you're...
I'm the eldest.
You're the eldest.
Younger sister and brother.
Ah, so I thought we were all going to be youngest, but no. Okay. All right, now to Frank. Now, was it Daniel or myself who, as a teenager, was in an ad for the TAC, which an ad that was parodied quite a bit or made fun of quite a bit?
Okay, so clearly I need to ask, what was the ad?
I was the driver in
So hang on, you're a kid in this ad and you were the driver.
Teenager.
Well, a teenager, were you?
I was 16. I didn't have my license yet.
Okay.
But I was still allowed to do the... I was in my
last
year.
Are you panicking in terms of whether or not this is true? Based on that single little chink that I discovered quite early.
I thought I'd found a chink earlier.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Well. Okay, sorry. So you were the driver in the ad, and then what happened in the ad?
It was actually the first TAC ad that was filmed during the day. And we like fight in the car. My character's name is Darren, and he was driving. He was trying to concentrate, and the other kids were like trying to distract me while I was driving.
Oh yeah.
And we went through a stop sign, and we had an accident, and then I died.
So it was like young drivers fooling around in the car. So that's why, even though you were 16, you were cast as an 18-year-old sort of.
Yeah.
He was driving on his P plates with other kids in the car or something.
And just before I died, the young woman in the car went, Darren! Like that.
Okay.
Which was hard for me.
I can't talk, I've got to die.
Yep. For the next
I shouldn't
five.
Make jokes.
It's an ad.
That's right. It is an ad. But
yeah.
You know,
for the next 5 years, when people would see me in the street, they would go, Darren!
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was good.
So what in that, like in, I remember when the TAC ads, there's been varying degrees of kind of the visceral reality of those ads. But earlier on, I think it wasn't as extreme. So when you died, what did we see? What did the viewer see in terms of you getting hit by the car and dying?
So we're in a red, a yellow Falcon. You know, one of those boxy kind of 80s, 90s kind of thing. And we're driving that, and I think I fly that out through the window, and then you see me lying dead on the road, and it looks like I've got one leg. And there were billboards all over Victoria.
Yeah, I am having a vague memory of that image. So now I'm going to go over to Josh. And, yes. And was that exactly the same ad? No. And all of the same? Or what was your...
Darren!
First year at uni, I was studying performing arts, and they just cast some of the boys in that, because the ad was we were playing football and then we would get in the car and there was three of us in the back seat and one of the guys driving, and my line was, did you check out those girls watching us? And another line in the ad, which was the one that everyone made fun of, was pineapple on pizza is a crime, because they were like, let's go get some pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, and so
setting up that we like these guys, yeah, they're lovable,
yeah,
they're,
and then it was like him kind of arguing in the back, and then it was just crash, and it was like a road safety thing for
and when it
young
was
drivers.
Just crash, what does that mean?
Well, it went to black and you heard the crash, and it was like something about like keep your eyes on the road, that
and
kind
were
of
you,
stuff.
Were you driving? Did you say
no, that? I was in the back.
You're in the back, right? Did you say the pineapple line?
No, I didn't say the pineapple line. I
did
said,
you wish you did? Say that line?
Well, not really, because that was the line. My friend Jason, who was in the course, he said it, not my brother. He said it though, and he got made fun of for ages. And when we got the script, though, that was the line that we wanted.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, okay. Dodged a bullet.
Okay.
Not the car.
Look, I have to say, I feel they're both eminently believable. It could easily have been either of you. The pineapple on the pizza detail is kind of leading me over here, but I've got this weird memory of the person lying on the road and the feeling that, are we meant to think they've lost their leg, or is that just a weird shot? Or that's just sort of coming. I'm seeing the asphalt and the person, but that might just be because you're a very vivid storyteller. And that's exactly what you just
I thought the same thing, because when we shot it, I just had my leg sort of back, and it wasn't, there was no plan to make it look like I'd lost my leg, but the angle, the way it had turned out, when they had me on all the
billboards. All right, you've convinced me. I reckon it's Daniel.
Ooh. You are correct. It is Daniel. Yes. Point there for Frank.
Was I supposed to be making it easier for you?
No. I liked it. Because this ad, not
I remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was it the inspiration for?
Well, do you know the song Greg the Stop Sign by Tism?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's a parody of that ad.
Oh, of course.
So instead of saying Darren, they just changed it to Greg. But the whole song is about that ad and about me.
Yeah, right. Did it have an impact on your kind of awareness of your own mortality, that at that point you'd become the poster boy for car accidents? Like, did that get under your skin at all?
No, it was just funny. Always funny, because when I first came out of school, I was playing in bands and we would drive to gigs in the country a lot. And you'd just see, like, me and four of my friends would be in a car. And we'd be looking at me dead on the road, like all the way along. We just thought it was hilarious. And because they played it so much, it was this cult thing that when anyone at that time, like young people, got into a car, they would start doing the lines from this ad. It was like, oh, knock it off, all right. You know, what about speed cameras? You know, like everyone knew it, right? And I remember walking along the footpath on Chapel Street, and there was a lot of traffic, and there's people in cars doing this ad. And I thought, oh, they've seen me, you know, they're doing the ad. And it wasn't. I was just walking along and I noticed that people just did it anyway. They just did the ad.
I can imagine it being like you driving your car down Chapel Street and somebody goes, Darren, and you turn around and you have a crash.
So this episode is the third most downloaded episode, and this one, very late episode in the year, episode 132 with the Plumbing the Death Star boys, so the two Joels and Jack, and also Claire Tonti. So this is actually a really cool episode in that there's no professional comedians in this episode, it's just podcasters. And so those boys do the podcast Plumbing the Death Star, and Claire does the podcast Just Make the Thing, and he also pops up on the Weekly Planet, and she is the person who pretty much organises the label that I'm on, the podcast label that I'm on, Planet Broadcasting, and so she's also just really, really funny.
So this is episode 132. Now, it was really interesting because I knew about the plumbing the Death Star. I'd never met these guys. And so when you do the podcast and there's, you know, three people who you've never met before, sometimes it takes a while for them to warm up to doing the show. Luckily, these guys, of course, they all knew each other, so they're so comfortable. And also, another good thing, they'd listened to the show before, which makes a huge difference, so they know what they're getting into. So some people just go, oh, yeah, I'll do the show. What is it? Yeah, okay, it's a podcast. Yeah, I think that's pretty easy. You just go on, you talk about yourself. No, you got to play a game on this one. I make it more interesting. So this, what we're going to listen to now is the first round, Social Me Media. And it's just great because Jack is just digging himself a hole with all his tweets. It is very, very funny. I'm not even going to play the whole first round. If you want to listen to it, go back to 132. It's a very, very good episode. Also, there is a story near the end about Jack and a pig, which is possibly the greatest story I've ever had on the podcast. Go listen to it. I didn't put it in this one because I wanted Social Media in. When it's done well, it's probably the best round. So this is episode 132 with the Plumbing the Death Star boys and Claire Tonti, your number three episode of 2018. Everyone out here removing ribs so they can self-suck genitals. Wait till I finish.
All right, category guess.
Just make your junk longer, you idiots. Put your business in your mouth without having to move your muscle, you fucking nitwits. Yes, Zammit.
Ah, Jack.
No. Oh, what? Yes, it was.
Yeah, it's me. It's me.
Imagine if it was Claire.
What? Yeah. You never know. I could surprise you.
That was a strong opening tweet.
Good.
That sets the tone pretty early on.
Yeah. Listeners of the show know I go over the tweets with my wife beforehand, and she was very impressed by the very first one. She's like, oh, starting strong.
Yeah, that was a long one too.
Yeah, he's using up all time.
I've got them. I might as well use them.
Correct.
Don't need to go to waste.
Two things I love about that. One, I do love the whole myth around removing your ribs, and also to end it with nitwits. Yeah. Nitwits is a great word.
The combination of self-suck and like 1940s insults.
See, my thing, favorite thing about the tweet is the fact you just say it like it's something a lot of people are doing.
Yeah. Because it was funny. The rumor, first off, was Prince apparently removed his ribs.
Yeah. Really?
And then, because I think I'm older than everyone in the room, you would have known about
the Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know this, Claire?
No, what's the Marilyn Manson?
Apparently, Marilyn Manson removed his ribs so he could self-suck his
I just love that it's such an appealing idea that every generation's like, someone's got to be doing it.
Is it an appealing idea?
Well, not really, like, but everybody...
Maybe.
I've never done it. I've tried, obviously. I've never achieved the goal.
I'm not very flexible.
Yeah.
But you need your ribs to protect your organs.
It's more important when you have a spleen.
What's attacking me if I'm there 24 hours a day sucking my own dick? Everyone's like, look, he's happy. He's not harming anyone.
A dick's an organ, kind of.
Yeah.
What better way to look after it than to suck it?
Correct. The human skull is the strongest part of the body.
Actually, this may surprise you, but I've actually seen someone do this move. Because I went to Puppetry of the Penis on a hen's night.
I was going to say in real life and expect you to be like, no, the internet. Wow, you've seen that in real life.
Not remove their ribs in real life. That would be awkward. Yeah, that would cry surgery and a whole lot of things. But no, some guy did it. Like, pretended to play the didgeridoo.
Did you have to resist temptation not to roll him?
Did you clap?
Well, he was on a stage. Well, yeah, you had to clap. I mean, it was a pretty amazing feat. Yeah.
He pretended to play the didgeridoo.
Correct.
That is cultural appropriation. Too far.
I should have stood up and like protested right then. Yeah,
look, that is impressive, but it's also offensive.
Yeah, but mainly I'm very impressed.
Can you imagine leaving Puppetry of the Penis saying, I found it very offensive when they did this?
Yeah. But not for the wrong
reason. No, not yet.
No, I was fine when they made animals out of their balls.
Question two. Currently, one of my favourite pastimes is to go to the park and see male pigeons hitting on lady pigeons, and when they inevitably fail, call them loser beater cucks and give them the finger until they fly off in shame.
Dusha.
Yes, Dusha.
Zammit.
You are correct, yes.
Initially, I was like, is that Claire? Go to the park. That's definitely not one of us.
I was like, wow, Jackson until cock. And I was like, Zabit finds that very funny.
It's a very good word.
I think I've seen you do that.
Just the image of giving an animal the finger.
Oh, it's so great. You're like, hey, you loser. And it's so good because I love when the male pigeon, they get all big, fat kind of neck, like, whoop, whoop,
yeah.
And then they're just like, the lady pigeon's like, I'm not having any of this. It's always good fun.
That was a really impressive pigeon impression. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Couldn't see, but your neck was going at everything.
I've studied them a lot.
Spent a lot of time at the park.
Yeah. Yelling at birds.
Question three. Having a stepdad fucking rules.
Jackson?
Yes, Jack.
Dusha?
Yes, you are correct. So yes, right. Jackson. Yeah.
I was like, I know Dusha's got a stepdad, but I've heard him say the opposite.
That may have been a sarcastic tweet. So, yeah, just to explain that tweet, because it's a pretty good story.
Sure.
I got a text message from my stepdad. So I don't live at home.
Yeah.
I got a text message from my stepdad at 1:41 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon saying, hey, when you wake up, can you call me? I have two jobs. I'm not that much of a piece of shit. That's so late.
There's so much hate in that one day. Oh, my God.
Cop that, me.
So, yeah, instead of saying, when you get this, call me, which is way less passive aggressive. Yeah. It's like, no, he's asleep until...
Yeah, well, I called at 3:30 because I wasn't busy, but after that, I was like, no, I'll make him wait.
Do you get on with your stepdad, though?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's fine.
I don't have a stepdad. My mum's got a partner, but he's not really my stepdad.
Well, this is a similar situation. My mum has a partner, but they're not married, but they've been together for ages, and they call each other life partners.
Hey, quick question. How many times has he proposed?
More than once, I think.
And your mum keeps saying no.
Well, my mum, not in like a, no, I will find better. She's just like... Look, I've been married once before.
Yeah.
It's too much, but I don't know why he did. I just don't understand why he
gave up at a certain point. Yeah.
Anyway, they're happy. That's good.
That's good because my mum and her partner, they get on really well. But he loves boats. He's obsessed with boats.
Mm-hmm.
A bit too much. A bit too much. And he went, when they broke up, when they were dating for about 3 months, and then he broke up with her because he had to go spend more time on his boat. And he sold his house to live on his boat. And then. This is in Tasmania in the wintertime. And then about May, he thought, oh, I better get back with my mum. So it was a very weird thing where I'm going, are you sure this guy's into you? And he's lovely, but it's just that thing. It was,
just loves boats.
Just happened to coincide with Tasmanian winter that I better actually have four walls and a roof. Speaking of the sea, question four, how come we don't call seafood sea meat?
Dusha.
Yes, Dusha.
Jackson.
No, it was Joel Zammit there.
Damn it.
Zammit.
Your boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was written, not by me, actually. It was by my partner. I was talking on the phone, and she's just like talking about seafood and called it sea meat. And I'm like, that's great. Yeah. I'm going to steal it.
Yeah.
Ghostwritten tweet.
Yeah.
Don't know how I feel about that. All of mine, I'd like to go on record, all of my tweets, 100% me. Including retweets. I only ever retweet things I also wrote.
She didn't like, she was like very embarrassed by saying sea meat, but I'm like, no,
it's good. Sea meat's good.
So we had to recently explain to our son that he eats chicken and that chicken is chicken and that like beef is cow. And he's three. Is that too early to tell him he eats living animals?
No.
I think because if you get early enough, it probably won't. Horrified, he would just be like, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Well, not yeah, cool. Be like, oh, okay.
No, that's what he did. He was like, oh, yeah, cool. And kind of laughed a bit. And I was like, am I raising a serial killer?
Then it just becomes life. And then once you have the understanding of, oh, it's animals, you're like, well, it's tasty though.
Yeah.
Just don't show him Charlotte's Web and tell it at the same time.
I had a friend who discovered that veal was baby cow at like 25.
Yeah.
Mm. He was like, well, eat veal because, you know, it's not harmful. Like, he's like, it's the better one to choose. We're like, what?
Well, that's why they've called it veal. So you're not saying baby
cow.
Baby cow.
Baby beef is what they should say.
But then, like, you don't eat sheep, you eat lamb, which is the baby.
Yeah, nobody eats sheep.
Yeah. I think they should call it baby cow meat.
Yes.
Baby
cow meat. It's funny that it's lamb or mutton. There's nothing in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my parents told, like, one of my brothers that, yeah, we're eating lamb, like a lamb leg. He just assumed that there was a three-legged lamb going around to the farm.
Aww.
And they were like, let him believe this for a bit.
Question five. I would like it on record that CGI animals are the worst.
Dusha?
Yes, Dusha.
Claire.
You are correct.
That was pretty wholesome. Right on brand.
Yeah.
But it was also a bit angry, so I was like, could have been anything.
Had you just watched, like, the Lion King trailer or something?
Yes, correct. Oh, my God, don't even get me started on how much I hate, because I saw the Jungle Book, right? And sure. I have a really big childhood, like deep-seated love of Disney movies in general. And for some reason, weirdly, the Jungle Book. I mean, and I only really discovered this when I saw the CGI version of the Jungle Book, and it is the worst. It's the worst.
All right, strong opinion. You
So good that you went into the cinema being like, yeah, I loved this as a child, and then you didn't realize that you had so much nostalgia attached to it that it was going to make you angry, so you were just getting furious during the film.
Yeah, James, my husband, got a bit scared, actually. I went on a big rant. Like, for too long. Like, this is too long to talk about how much I hate CGI animals.
What about the animation in the Polar Express? How are you with that one?
Nah, creepy.
That's the worst, isn't it?
It's the worst. It's the worst.
What a great movie.
Yeah, however, I went on this big, like, diatribe about the whole thing, and then someone pointed out The Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Polar Express made my nan throw up at work.
That rules.
Yeah,
rules. Wow. Seasickness?
So I mean,
at a bakery? Train sickness?
That's what I meant.
I went to plane, so
sickness? That's what I meant.
Yeah, so she worked at the cinema when that came out and, yeah, like, went to, like, check the cinema and it gave her, like, weird vertigo and, yeah, it spewed.
Gross.
Yeah. Question
nan
six.
Nan bomb is bad.
I hope I die up high somewhere so that I'm a hassle to get down.
Jackson.
You are correct. Yes.
I didn't want to buzz in because I was like, was that me? Yeah. That sort of sounds like something I would say.
I just, in the thing, I imagined that I have like 10 minutes left to live and I'm like, got to get high up. You know, like the top of the Chrysler building? If I can die near the pole at the very top, so they maybe don't even notice for ages till someone's doing a flyby in a helicopter and they're like, body. And then.
Well, I like a tree is also pretty good because if you're high enough in a tree, like that's too low for a helicopter to get you, but too high for a regular man to get you down.
And no one's looking up. Yeah, that's true. Get me down with a stick. That's just awkwardly positioned off and then falling with a flump onto the ground.
Apparently bats die in trees.
Really?
Yeah, they actually hang in and then they kind of decompose in the tree because you see so many bats around, but you don't see dead bats on the ground.
Man, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, their claws kind of get into the bark.
Like rigor mortis sets in.
Apparently.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Next question. Here's your monthly reminder that anime is still trash and garbage.
Dusha.
Yes, Dusha.
Zamet.
Yes, you are correct.
I am never going to get any of these. But it's okay.
Was that me or you, Jeff?
Yeah, that could have been. I stayed silent because I thought I'd done it.
No, the only thing that gave it away is that it was slightly more angry than anything you would. And also you'd be like, this is a monthly reminder that anime is still trash and
Suck your own dick or whatever.
I saw a horse dick today.
Fair.
All right, question eight. Hey, so vampire bats are fucking cute as hell and fruit bats are fucking not as cute. So how about you all eat my ass?
Damn it.
Yes, Claire.
Jackson?
Yes, you're
right. Yeah, I got a round of applause. Yeah.
I've got such a signature way of tweeting.
If that didn't end with eat my ass, it could have been anyone in the room.
Yeah, I feel like the first tweet really, you know, set the tone.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I hate the fruit bats. Everyone thinks they're the cute ones. Fuck them off. Yeah. Okay? Vampire bats, adorable. They look like they're always so happy. I remember seeing on Planet Earth once, there were these vampire bats trying to eat a pig, but the pig kept on like nearly stepping on them and they were shitting themselves and rolled.
That was good for you.
There's so many layers to that.
All right, question nine. Speaking of layers, the best thing about a Pringles can is that all genders can fuck it.
Dusha.
Yes, Dusha.
Jackson.
Yes, Jackson again.
That tweet was ghostwritten by me.
It's true.
It is a great tweet.
Isn't true, though?
Yeah, anyone can have a go. That's what's good about Pringles. Well, actually, what I love about that tweet is that no one can do it well.
Yeah.
Everyone can give it a go, but it's actually going to be difficult either way, and that rules.
Oh, man, I forgot about that.
It's exemplary.
Pringles cans actually have got thinner, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're driving towards it.
Yeah, maybe they saw
Two uses. Eat Pringles. Pleasure.
So coming in at number two, now I actually thought this would be the number one episode in the studio of the year, but it's not, it's number two. Now this episode is episode 111 with Lawrence Mooney, Dave O'Neill, Kyron Wheatley and Jess McGuire. This episode, I think
possibly had, you know, hey, I self-promote on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I think this one had the most retweets and the most likes on Facebook when I put up the who the crew were. So I actually thought this would be, oh, this is definitely going to be number one. No, but it's still a very, very good episode. Probably the most I've edited out of an episode, this one as well. I think we recorded for about an hour and 30 minutes. I think it actually went for about an hour 10 after the edit. So a lot of stuff got taken out. Some of it great. Some of it, no, you can't say that, Lawrence. You can't say that in public. So what I'm going to play now is part of the episode. It's Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this, see if you can hear the edits. There's a few beeps and stuff like that. Jess tells a story about her time working at the ABC, which I pretty much had to take the entire thing out. But if you're a Patreon subscriber, you would have heard it. It's very good. Hey, while I am talking about the Patreon, go and be a Patreon subscriber. It's really cool. So it's patreon.com/DYKWIA. Just help me keep the podcast going. Give me the enthusiasm to keep it going by your financial contributions. That's right. Got bills to pay. Got a family to support. My wife does want me going, hey, by the way, I've got to go and write the podcast and then go edit the podcast and then go record the podcast. She'd rather those 8 hours I have back spending time with my family, but, you know, Papa's got to eat. Anyway, so this is episode 111. Lawrence Mooney, Dave O'Neill, Kyron Wheatley, and Jess McGuire. It's your number 2 episode of the year. This round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. Now, in this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. A point if you get it correctly. A point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So, to Jess. Now, Dave here interviewed the singer and poet, Jewel, and afterwards, her boyfriend walked into the room and wanted to fight Dave. Yeah or nah?
Well, okay. Is this late era Jewel? Or
yeah, it's later. I would have been on Nova, though, so it was 2000.
Yeah, your story's checking out because I was like, if he's talking about early Jewel, he would have been on Triple R, and she wasn't getting airplay, was she?
She was not getting airplay on Triple R.
And yet, on the poetry show, they loved her book, A Night Without Armour.
You know the book.
I was a teenager with feelings in the late 90s, Dave. Yes, I know the
poetry show with Alicia Sometime.
Yes, yes. She loved Jewel. She sat, no, she didn't. I'm not going to undo her.
So, I never liked Jewel that much, but I interviewed her. She's wearing a tracksuit. I remember that much. But I like the movie she was in. I like the
Brokeback Mountain, wasn't she?
No, Devil Ride With Me. Yeah, you're right. Same director, Ang Lee.
Yeah.
Where Ang Lee apparently broke her. Like, she never acted again.
Ang Lee.
Ang Lee.
He directed The Hulk.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, you did. You wouldn't like
Stuart
him.
Lee.
When he's angry.
Yeah, I'm angry.
She wouldn't
but
like
also,
me.
I asked Heath Ledger once about it, because I heard he was difficult, and I said, Heath Ledger, and I said, what was Ang Lee like? And he said, seriously, when we did Brokeback Mountain, we'd had a whole day of acting in the tent and stuff. And he, I said,
that's what we call it,
in the tent and stuff.
And I said, I said to Ang Lee, what did you think? And Ang Lee looked at me and said, the light was good. That was his feedback on the day of tent activity. The light was good. So I was intrigued about Jewel. But she didn't want to talk about her acting, and then, because in those days you just went with I was back in the day of DAT players and stuff, but then it just turned to a mic that had a chip in it, so it didn't look like you. Particularly old people would say your mic's not plugged in. You plug your mic in. I say that no, it's the chip's in the bottom of the mic. It tapes stuff, and so it did look like I was just some guy in a hotel room. And so the boyfriend comes in where he's a rodeo guy. He's a proper, if it's the same one.
I'm going to jump in now and say yeah then, because I know those facts about her boyfriend, and I was waiting for you to drop them, and I was like, if he says rodeo guy, I know he's telling the truth.
Well, you are correct. It's the point there for Jess. I want to hear the rest of the story. Yeah.
I'm sitting on the couch with her, and I'm just going, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes in mid-interview, and he goes, hey, Joel, hey, well, who's this guy? Oh, he's interviewing me. Sure you are. You're interviewing her, are you? He goes, where's your equipment? I said, it's here. He goes, it looks like a toy to me. And then he's just like, she goes, no, I can't remember, what's his name, Derek or something like that? no, leave him alone or something like that. And I got up and left because it was so uncomfortable.
Did that go to air?
Rodeo Derek.
Rodeo Derek, I can't.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing with your microphone, mister?
I don't think it did go to air.
So what's Jules' big song?
Hands? Who will save your soul?
These hands are yours.
She lived in a car.
Hands are small, I know, but they're not yours. They are my own.
This is amazing. Yes,
they're not yours. They are my own. And
I am. Do you know the verse?
No, I can't go that far.
Do you know some of the poems?
I don't know the verse. I was just really hoping.
Am I thinking of Fiona Apple? That's what I'm thinking of.
I can run through the hits of Fiona Apple.
What's her big one?
Well, it depends if you're a true fan, but certainly initially with that debut album title, everyone did love Criminal, but there were some great tracks on that.
What about who's saying?
You are a font.
Yeah, I live next door to just like being a teenage girl in the late 90s.
What about I live next door to a woman who every day at 8 o'clock in the morning would play that song to remind me of the dress you wore when
Alanis Morissette. About Uncle Jesse, Uncle Joey, Uncle Joey from Full House. That song's about.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. How do you not know that?
Down on you in a theater.
So Sir Dave Coulier got a gobby at the cinema.
So, why did Jesse have a gun? Jesse got a gun.
I think she was abused.
I think it came from that.
I thought you were still talking about Full House there with Jesse.
Whole things come undone.
Right. To Dave, now, when Kyron was working for a driver for a band in the United States of America, he illegally parked over a neighbor's driveway. The neighbor got the car towed, which cost $800, but the band refused to let him pay for it. Yeah or nah?
Oh, what band was it?
All Our Exes Live in Texas.
Oh, yeah, I know those girls. Yeah, I met them in a pub once. And yeah, so why are you touring with them?
I am friends with the band.
Which one?
With.
You have to pick a favourite is what he's saying.
I'm friends with all of them. Though.
And one of their sisters is in what famous show?
She is in Orange is the New Black.
I believe it.
Is it Alana Stone's in that band?
Yeah, Yale Stone's in.
Yeah. I say yeah.
Are they an Australian band or American band?
They're an Australian band.
But her sister is
a song, All Our Exes.
They met on the internet.
All
That's
My Exes
they met
Live
all
in Texas is a some famous country singer's song, All My Exes Live in Texas.
Yeah, they're great. But I remember meeting
them. You can't name your band after somebody else's song.
What?
Everyone does it.
Do they?
Powderfinger, for example.
Oh, Powderfinger, yeah. Okay.
Greenspoon?
What I'm saying is you can't do it. Or you should not do it.
Radiohead? It's a Talking Head song.
Yeah.
Radiohead.
Oh, this is awful.
Silverchair was based on them calling up Triple J to ask for songs, and they miswrote Sliver by Nirvana, and they were going to ask for Berlin Chair by UMI. So someone had written on the note Silverchair.
Do you know that is not true? Made.
Why don't you shut up, Josh? I hate your stupid podcast. I'm going to close your laptop and destroy it.
It is actually named after the Inner Blighton book. The Silver Chair. Yes, it is.
It's a wishing chair.
Yeah, it's a wishing chair.
We can't name a band after a book.
Trust me, they came back out.
You pulled out no facts there to change my mind.
Okay. No, there's an interview where they all said, no, we tried to
be... Mr. I sit in a cold room on a wooden chair. Huh?
You've had that argument before. You had your list too ready.
You just bombarded
me with song names.
I reckon those girls, they seemed really nice. I reckon they would at least agree to split it half and half. So I'm going to say no.
It was true. They didn't let him pay at all.
No, they didn't let him
pay at
all.
No, they were nice. You were right. They were nice.
Anyway, point there for Kyron.
You gave them 50% asshole in that story. They're all right, girls. They pay at least half.
Yeah. So, well, they were going around, and they had to drive, and they were supporting Midnight Oil, actually.
Oh, whose song is that?
No. The Rolling Stone song.
Whose song is the wrong?
Oh, hang on.
Well,
you're going to start shouting.
Mooney's car, right?
So I drove him around the West Coast.
Was that fun?
Yeah, it was so much fun. Just going to Midnight Oil gigs.
Did you meet Pete?
Trying to find your car.
Trying to find the car. And because San Francisco, the garages just don't, they don't look like garages. They just, it's very hard to spot.
And they don't have a keep clear 24-hour sign on like every gate in Melbourne.
Yeah. So I parked there, woke up in the morning, no car. That was a hard one to break to the band who were making exactly zero money on this tour.
Oh.
Well, minus 800 now. So yeah. Thanks. So to Kyron, a few years ago, Lawrence got a text from an old flatmate asking if he could help out with some tickets to the musical Matilda. Lawrence had not spoken to this guy for over 20 years and also had no affiliation with the show Matilda. Lawrence said, leave it with me, and then half hour later texted back saying, they're on the door under your name. even though they were not. Lawrence and his wife thought this was hilarious, especially the day of the show when the guy rang up 5 minutes before the show would have started trying to find Lawrence for saying there's no tickets. Lawrence's wife answered and said, sorry, you've got the wrong number, hung up, and they laughed even more. Yeah or nah?
Oh.
There's a lot in that, so you might want to unpack it.
There is a lot in
but
that.
But it all sounds so legit.
Who's this guy?
His name's and I went to school with him, primary school.
When was the last time you saw him? Like 20 years ago, what was the context?
Well, he lived in a street called Orchard Road.
That's Leo Sayer sang.
He lived next door to Leo Sayer in Bayswater, and there's a family across the road from them called the Grubbs, and Eric had died, and we were at Eric's funeral. It's like, we've got to catch up, and that was the last time I saw him. And I was, yes, we should catch up, we should have beers.
Yeah, sure.
And then he knew that I was doing comedy, and I think he wanted to take his daughter along to Matilda, which is a nice thing to want to do. And rang
but maybe buy a ticket. No, that's what I did. Buy tickets. I bought a ticket.
Yeah, buy tickets. Unfortunately, is in prison now.
For starting a fracas?
Did he try to get into Matilda? Is that why?
Is that what happened? Or?
No.
The Matilda Massacre. I wrote about that.
No, he didn't.
Did he rock up to your house?
He was convicted of statutory rape. He had sex with an underage woman.
Oh no!
That's a fact. Sorry. So
story's turned.
I'm not defaming him.
Because you were instrumental, Dave. In Tim.
Maybe I should have changed his name. Yeah. The weird thing is,
I can beep.
Okay. Yeah, you can. You should beep out his name. what's his name? The guy that won 7 Olivier's for writing Matilda.
Tim Minchin.
Sorry, Tim. Anyway, Tim Minchin. I know quite well. I'd spent some time in London with Tim.
So he was. So your friend's right. You actually did have a hookup.
Yeah, but he didn't know that. Right. No, know that I knew Tim Minchin, and so
or whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah, you know the guy. So I'd actually lived with Tim in London in 2005, back when he was just redheaded Tim Minchin, and he just cracked it at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and had a season on the West End. And so I think that documentary about him is all about that period. And so when they're inside the house in Earl's Court, I was looking for myself in the background. Oh, no. Never mind. So, yes, I had...
Did you consider ringing Tim to get some tickets for...
For Glenn? Of that guy?
Yeah.
Look, for Gary?
Gary? For Gary. I feel actually very shamefaced about the whole deal because I could have, first of all...
He's raped someone. He's in jail. It's fine.
Statutory.
And we don't call it statutory rape here, do we? Anyway, let's.
No, it's still.
Let's
terrible.
Not split hairs.
Yeah.
He didn't. Could you cut everything I've said out of this?
People are going, why is there only three guests this week?
Actually,
Glenn onwards.
I'm very embarrassed on a number of levels.
Are we under attack?
What's going on outside?
Jurassic Park. Here comes
that giant that's going to just cradle me in his arms, tear the roof. I was like, are you happy now? No, put me down. So I was very good friends with at primary school. We were best buddies. And then I left Bayswater where I grew up and kind of didn't look back. And I've never been into, you know, maintaining friendships.
That's abundantly clear.
God, this is too confronting. So when he called me up, I was like, oh. And I probably was honest with him when I said, listen, I'll organise something for you.
Yeah.
And then I decided not to.
But then you decided to call him.
To call him back
and
say, listen, they're on the door.
Do you think that's the moment? That's the error.
That's a wrong thing to do. Yeah. And then to laugh at him and maybe... set him on a course.
Oh, yeah.
I'm spiralling.
Because, you know, there's sliding doors. Yep. And I didn't have
free
to disappoint him or...
We're trapped by our past.
You're trapped by decisions Lawrence Mooney makes.
Yeah. I say
the
true.
Idea.
Yeah. You say true? It is... Nah, it was all a lie. A point there for Lawrence Mooney.
Well, none of that's true.
Do you know what didn't check out? that your wife went along with it? Because I've met your wife and she's really nice.
Nah,
and I didn't
buy it. Got a new wife.
So this no, that's a. Oh.
So is this guy
this
not one's in jail?
A real bitch.
This guy's not in
does
jail.
Does this person exist?
This person, I just made. I've just put somebody into a fake story. So all the things that I said about that guy are true.
Okay.
So a rapist is what we're trying to establish.
Yes, great. Yes, point not Lawrence's fault. It's
okay, can I tell
established.
The story about...
Yes.
So this is obviously not going to go to podcast air, but I'm outside my...
Okay, so to Lawrence. When Jess was writing for the gossip site Defamer... She would quite often get invited to preview screenings for films. 3 years ago, she was curious and checked the old email, only to see that Village Roadshow would still invite her to every screener in Melbourne. Because of this, she has not paid for a film in years. Yeah or nah?
Mm. When you say not paid for one in years, have you paid for one recently?
Yeah. Like, he's amping it up a bit. Like, I definitely go to the free previews and stuff like that, but, you know... You don't get invited to all the films you want to see. And sometimes a lady has to take herself out on a Monday daytime to Cinema Nova for $8. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, Village Roadshow.
Still doing really well. Still doing really well for myself, Florence.
Yeah,
but,
just rocking it. Yeah. What was the last Village Roadshow preview you saw?
The one where he has sex with the peach. Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It's just an American... Pie remake.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. A very fancy American Pie remake.
Have you read the book for that, by the way?
I haven't yet, but I heard good things about it.
Is it good?
It's very good, yeah, but it gets significantly more full on. Mm. Like, for example, where, spoiler alert, by the way, if you plan on reading the book, but where...
I'll never get time to read again, so...
One of them takes a dump and the other one says, don't flush it, because he wants to also take a dump so they can dump together.
Oh, God.
Dump on dump.
And then this old
is exactly
guy
what Family First.
Just chucks him in the creek.
Yeah. It's exactly what Family First thinks that gay sex is, though, isn't it? And he does a poo, and then the other one does a poo on that poo, they're grubs. And it's like, that's not standard, is it?
No,
okay, go on, just checking.
Who doesn't want to do another poo on a poo? It's hilarious. Especially if your poo hits the other poo and it's standing up. So.
Just go to a public toilet, mate. Yeah. There's plenty of it going on.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be bothered. Is it a true story or not?
What do you reckon? You reckon you or nah?
I reckon nah.
You are correct. Yes, it wasn't. I made that one up as well. Point there for Lawrence. Another point.
Yeah, I knew it was. You know why? Because all the screens are 9 a.m.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, terrible.
The truth is I did have a defamer email, but I can't get into it anymore because it's dead. Mm. So anything that I was on for that is gone. But... there are definitely some hangovers from doing, like, documentary reviews on Double J or doing other things that I still seem to be on the mailing list for some. Yeah. And if something is really good, I might be like, oh, yeah, put my name down for that. But I'm a bit riddled with guilt.
You shouldn't be.
But I'm like, I could tweet about it. There's some
rich content. You're still a journalist.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not qualified for anything.
Lawrence.
Yeah. You never were.
I never was.
So... Defamer. I used to read that a bit.
Did you?
Yeah.
When it was the American one or whatever?
No. Why did I used to read Defamer? What was happening on that? Is it the gossip site?
Sort of. But it was an American gossip site about like Hollywood and LA life.
Maybe it was during Dirty Laundry Live.
Yeah, yes, mate.
Possibly.
Yeah. No, I reckon it would have been done. When was Dirty Laundry? Because I quit in 2011 to focus on...
13 to 15.
Yeah, yeah. I quit to focus on Breakfasters. Because this is going to take me to the top.
That's right. Well, Breakfasters is such a fast track.
Speaking of sliding doors moments, there's certainly been a couple there. So, Defamer was like 2007 to 2011. So some company decided to syndicate the American stuff and then get Australian stuff written. But I wasn't very good at the gossip because it's such a small thing, but I just really liked finding YouTube videos of like...
Before people were hired to do social media, you were hired to do social media for the ABC, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do anything because they had editorial.
There was no such thing as social media.
I was like, can I use YouTube? They're like, we haven't passed that with the editorial things. So it was a little website called Wallace that they made me quit smoking and document it, and that pretty much sums up. Yeah. And then I knew I had to quit when like the guy
Wallace.
That... They called it Wallace because it had a picture of Wallace and Gromit on it, which ages it completely. Yeah. It would have been done in the early 90s and we still had to use it in 2007. And I think still for years afterwards. Like, it's only recently.
Got to look it up.
Still using it when I quit.
Yeah, there you go. You know it. You know it.
Nightmare.
MySpace, ABC, just passed it.
But I remember I had to quit when the boss past and he was a bit eccentric and he was a British guy. And he had a hand puppet named Bunny in the shape of a rabbit.
I remember that guy.
And Bunny liked some employees. Bunny very visually did not like other employees at the ABC and would
that
react
is
accordingly.
Mental. That's radio rental.
Yeah. Bunny liked me, but then he asked me, he's like, I've got a great idea, Jess. Make a Facebook page for Bunny.
Oh,
and that
Jesus.
That was the end.
Mr. Mooney, Mr. O'Neill, and Ms. McGuire, and Ms. Wheatley. So this is your number one. Before we get to number one, quick thing of plug. So I'm doing some shows coming up in the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I am doing the podcast, so if you don't have your tickets for the podcast, get online now. Go to joshua.com.au/gigs. So I'm doing four shows at the European Beer Cafe, Sundays, 3 p.m. in the festival. I think the first one is March 30th or 31st. And then April 7, 14, 21, at 3 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. Tickets are $20, or you can get a season pass for $60, which, you know, very good. It's like getting a free show. In fact, it is. It's exactly getting a free show. The lineups in the live shows, especially Comedy Festival, are always great, so make sure you get a ticket early. And also, while I'm talking about Comedy Festival, I'm doing a stand-up show for the first time in about 3 years. So this is my new show called Josh Earl Talks. So if you've seen me in the past, I'm normally playing songs. This one, no songs. Just me doing stand-up and the best stories I have. I'm super proud of this show. I think it's going to be great. I would love it if people started buying tickets, because otherwise it's going to be not great. So go to joshearl.com.au/gigs. It's going to be on 8:15 at the Vic Hotel in the CBD. So it's right next to the town hall there. A lot of great shows are on at the Vic Hotel. I'm lucky to be one of the shows that are there. So that's every night of the festival apart from Mondays, 8:15, 7:15 Sundays. Follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook, Instagram for constant updates about it, because I just need to shift some units. So this is the most downloaded show of the year. It is surprising that it's the most, but it's not surprising. Because what it is, okay, so it's episode 107 with Joe Stanley, Broden Kelly from Arnie Donna, Dave Warnicki, and Jess Perkins from Do Go On, the monster that is Do Go On. They have such a great following. Their fans really, really do love their show. So this is episode 107. It was recorded very late at night. It was recorded at Stupid Girl Studios. Very good place, but just after we recorded, it was funny, we were walking out and Joe was like, oh, this is really cool, this place, I really like this place. And then a mouse ran out and she was like, I'm getting out of here as quick as I can. So this is your number one studio episode of the year. Now this is another Knowing You, Knowing Me. So thank you, before we go out, because I'll just leave it on this, thank you for listening. Next week we'll do the top five live episodes. You guys have been great all year. Keep coming out to the live shows. Keep downloading it. Keep, giving iTunes ratings. Yeah, keep sharing. If you can, it would be a big help. Watch the YouTube videos of the two shows I did. Share them around. You never know. Someone in some network somewhere might see it and go, hey, this is good. It's very cheap to make. Let's put it on TV. That doesn't mean that the podcast is going to stop if it's on TV. No, no, no. The podcast will keep going, as will the TV show. So this is episode 107. Joe Stanley, Broden Kelly, Jess Perkins, Dave Warnicki. Enjoy. Have a good new year. I'll see you next week. Bye. Now this round, is called Knowing Me, Knowing You. In this round, each of you are given a fact about somebody else on the panel. You have to determine whether it happened to them or whether, in fact, it happened to me. You can ask as many questions as you want. If you're correct, you get a point. If you're incorrect, the person who the fact may or may not be about, they get the point. So the first one is to Dave. Now, was it Joe or was it me that went to donate our poo for poo transplants, but was told their poo wasn't healthy enough.
Aww.
All right, wow.
There could be a lot to unpack there.
There is a lot.
You can ask some questions.
Yeah.
Packing your pants.
All right, Joe, how did you hear about this poo shortage?
I read about it in a magazine whilst at the doctor's surgery, actually, but it was just like wasn't a specialist poo magazine. It was just like a Poo Weekly.
Yeah, Poo Weekly.
Then I heard via someone else whose husband had Crohn's disease and had been having poo transplants.
Ah.
Was it poo idea?
Sitting there thinking the whole time.
You know, when I was a teenager, my puberty, I loved getting poo, which is zoo, but poo.
Oh, that
and Dave
quite,
had one going, Dave.
Was, yeah. Smash shit. Yes. So thank you, Josh. Okay, well answered there, Joe. Josh, question for you.
Yes.
Did you get knocked back with poo in cup? Or do they just, can they do a different test?
No, they test you first. So you went in there and then after you delivered the first time, they trust you enough to do it at home and bring it in. But the first one, you got to get tested for it.
What, in case you bring in dog poo?
Well, they just want to test you and so, you know, it's...
And how long
so
before...
So you're not just dropping shit off and they're like, who dropped this dirty shit off? We need to tell them that they're not healthy.
Yeah. How long before you find out the results?
It's like instant. It's like you wait around 10 minutes.
And was that
the
most disappointing moment of your life?
Yeah, because the reason I was doing it is not also it's a good cause, but also you get paid for doing it. $50. $50 a plop.
what he did.
So $50 a plop. Is it the bigger it is, the more, like, is it a kilo?
Is it just a set?
They don't need that much.
Is it by weight?
It's by weight, no. In fact, the person getting it is happy it's not as big. Like, just...
Now, do you get paid 50 for that first one, even though it doesn't do you have to be accepted?
No, you got to get accepted. It's like NIDA. It might take you a few goes.
Did you get a call back?
I didn't get a call back. Oh. Although they said you just got to change your diet. My diet wasn't high in fibre enough.
Right. Is this when you're in Tassie?
No, this is here. It's a Bundoora RMIT. They do it there.
Oh, okay. And Joe, where was the clinic for you?
I didn't get that far. To the clinic.
Oh, so how'd you get knocked back?
No, I got knocked back because you fill in a questionnaire and like over the phone and they said, ba-bow.
What was the thing you reckon that didn't get you across the line?
Two things.
Okay.
One is that I also have gut issues, right? I have IBS. They've gone, well, probably we could be transplanting whatever shit you're carrying around.
We're going to sabotage the system.
Yeah. But mainly they don't want you if you have anxiety. And I was like, well, I might have anxiety, but I think my poo's pretty relaxed. Like, I don't think it sits up there going, no, we're scared of water.
Yeah, just add that to the things I now think about when I'm anxious.
I know.
Is it because...
Even my shit's not good enough.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do they worry that you'll go in there and take up too much of their time when, you know, you check in and then go to the bathroom and 3 hours later you've become too anxious to give them what they want?
You've got stage fright,
yeah. That's right. Wow. Yeah. My poo has a fear of heights and it just won't come.
that's where the phrase scared shitless comes from.
So. there's a correlation between gut and brain, you see. So that's why they said, no, sorry, we don't take people with anxiety. And I've gone, well, thank you very much.
What do you think, Dave?
All right, whilst I love a world where you get paid to poo, I'm going to say Joe.
You are correct. Oh. Yes, you are right. But you do get paid $50.
Oh.
I did research into this.
Well done.
So for the lie.
And just to explain, what they do is they take the poo and they dehydrate it and they put it in a capsule. So the person takes it that way.
Oh.
And then
they put it. They put it under a primary school for 50 years and then open it up.
Yes.
It says here that Darren loves Rachel.
Did you do research into, did they enema that or they swallow that? I think they enema it.
I just saw that there's money involved. I thought that's going to be my angle on this one. I'm doing it for,
cash.
Keep
your heart up for cash.
Poo York Times.
Yes!
Excellent. That was great.
We'll come back to you later.
They took down Harvey Weinstein. 2 York Times.
Another huge shit. To Joe, now, was it Jess or was it myself who wrote Harry Potter fan fiction? Which one of us wrote Harry Potter fan fiction?
Okay. All right, interesting. Interesting that this has come to me, given I have never read or watched any of the Harry Potters. Mm. So I'm coming from a basis of complete ignorance.
Really hoping that both of you just make up characters now.
I know. So, all right, Jess, who did you write this fiction for?
A group of friends and I, we were in a year 10, all did it.
Okay. Was it of an erotic nature?
No. People definitely wrote erotic fan fiction of Harry Potter. But there was several websites where people would just write their own fan fiction. I never published any of it. I would just sort of write it myself.
And give me a plot. What happened?
I wrote myself in.
Oh, what was your name?
Because I was a real drama nerd at school.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. We all were. Let's face it. Look at us.
We've all done drama. I know it.
Look at us. Podcast is where you go these days. When you study drama, you can't get a job.
You can't.
We have graduates in several different podcasts.
That's what they say on the website.
Yeah. Graduates of the Ballarat University Arts Academy have performed in several podcasts across the Planet Broadcasting platform.
So, what was your character?
Well, I think it must have been towards the end of, when the last book was coming out. So it's like we didn't know everything that had happened in the whole story. Okay. So I was writing my own character. Her name was Giselle. And obviously a love interest of Ron.
Really?
Yeah. What about Hermione? Where's she in this? Did you write her out?
Well, like if it was between me and Hermione, I get to control the story.
She's writing that's what I mean.
Were you letting?
I didn't write her out.
So you went like, oh no, she fell down a well. Who cares?
No,
she pushed her under a train.
I didn't murder
that train
any
on that station that you can go to in London.
Yeah,
I didn't murder any characters.
Well, just just so you know, your fan fiction won't pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah, that's
true.
So.
Yeah, true.
So, well, riddle me this. I've never understood why do people always go for Ron and not Harry.
I don't know. I think I liked Ron because he was funny. I always liked a funny guy. Harry's a bit of a wet blanket. Parents.
Harry,
are dead.
Harry's got a lot of baggage. Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of baggage.
So much baggage.
I mean, he's the chosen one.
Yeah.
It's a bit to carry.
Yeah. And he's always like,
got a big scar in his head too. So it's
this evil wizard trying to kill me.
Okay. And so, did people read your fanfiction?
I think I might have shown it to one or two of my friends. I definitely didn't publish it. And I remember just sort of writing it in class when I was bored.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't take it as seriously as some people do.
Did you get it on with Ron?
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah. But I was like a really good witch. Like I was really good at magic and they were all very impressed by that. And I'm pretty sure I made my character Australian too.
How does that work?
I don't know. She transferred there. I'm not sure. I don't remember those details.
This is like Monster High. They've got an Australian character in Monster High.
I was like, well, I'm going to represent Australia.
Okay. All right. Josh, did you get it on with Ron?
No.
Or Hermione.
Mine was very different. Mine, because I was working as a school librarian, and the gap between when the books were released was too much for the kids at Collingwood College, and so we wrote our own little chapters of Harry
Potter. You did it as an exercise with the kids.
Yeah, it was like it was still writing fan fiction though. Like,
but you weren't some nerd in a classroom desperate to be involved.
Well,
in
I
the
kind of
Harry
was a
Potter
nerd in a
mythology,
classroom.
You were you were exploring children's creativity.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I was still a nerd in the classroom though.
Okay.
Yes.
What was your plot?
My plot. So I wrote about Draco Malfoy. Draco Malfoy.
Is that a drinking game?
No, that's
it. That should be.
It's the evil guy. I was trying to write it so because he is quite evil in the thing. He's actually looking very similar to how you're looking at the minute. He's very blonde, and he.
Oh, that guy.
That guy. Yeah.
Yes, right.
And I was trying to because a lot of these kids at Collingwood, they come from the rough area, and they just need someone to give them a chance. And so my thing was like Draco, if you just gave him a chance, gave him some love, he'd actually be a pretty good guy. So that's how I twisted it for the kids.
You had to have a little moral in there.
Yeah, had to ruin it
by
trying to make it educational.
You totally did. What year level was this for?
This was for the threes to sixes.
Threes to sixes?
As in like year 3 to year 6. So they were like
Yeah, pen. That's quite advanced to be writing that sort of stuff.
No, it's just like draw a picture. If you can't write a story, draw a picture of something that you think should happen. A lot of it was just kind of, what do you think is going to happen in the next book?
And, yeah, right. Mm. Okay.
That's a pretty low bar, draw a picture of what you think would happen.
Sometimes you do whatever you've got to do.
You've got to give the kids who don't engage with reading an option.
Right, okay, yeah, right? Cool.
And
that's
they,
fair.
And they
clearly fair. Have no children in your
life. They complete it and they get a win.
Nah. Stuff them. Nah.
Stuff them. Yeah. Like, nah. Go and play Minecraft.
I hope this is real because it sounds like you're doing great work.
I know. Are you still a librarian?
I work at the State Library of Victoria.
Do
That's
you?
How I know the La Trobe fact because we've got the La Trobe reading room there.
Oh, I love the State Library.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Okay. Mm. I'm really not getting anywhere with this. I'm going to say... No, it's a trick question for me because I don't think yours is fan fiction.
You don't think mine's fan fiction?
No, it doesn't count as fan fiction to me. I want to see some poor, what were you, year 10? I want to see some sad year 10
16.
Drama nerd who can't get a date to the school social just rubbing herself off over Ron Weasley. Is that his surname?
Yeah.
Yes. That's how I imagine it.
You are correct. Yes, it was Joe. It was Jess, I mean. Point there for Joe.
Was that picture very accurate that she painted at the end?
Yep. Yeah. Could not get a date. Very lonely.
She's dreaming of one day having Ron Weasley walk through the door. Giselle, where have you been all my life?
I don't pull Giselle from either.
Have you kept these?
No, I don't know where they are.
Sure.
No, they're... You know, no idea.
Giselle is such a year 10 name.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to give yourself a fake name, it would be Giselle. Or for me, because it was the 80s, it was always Madison.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry to tangent, but is it true?
Or Jade.
I think it's true. Twilight fan fiction. Well, no, 50 Shades of Grey is Twilight fan fiction.
Oh, is that how it started?
In my understanding.
I think I've heard that too.
Yeah, I think they're.
Well, a porn version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's erotic fan fiction.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There could be something in it for you, Jess Perkins.
So I should find those old notebooks.
There's a huge market
of horny old ducks.
Okay, to Jess. Yes. Was it Broden or myself whose neighbour growing up would, in plain sight of visitors, bite the warts on his knees, dab at the blood with a piece of bread...
Oh, what?
...and then eat the bread?
No!
Is that Broden or is that me?
So hang on. This is
the
true story.
This is one of the true for either me or Broden. Bite the warts on his knees. Get a piece of bread. Dab, dab, dab. Munch, munch, munch.
Broden.
The fuck yes. is wrong with that kid?
Was this an adult or a child neighbour?
It was an adult.
What?
He wasn't well. He was this, but yes, he was an adult.
Where would he sit and do this?
Like on his steps out the front of his house. So I lived across the road from a school. I lived in Viewbank.
Oh, look at us.
So which is just down the road from Eltham.
Yeah.
I lived across the road from Viewbank College on Warren Road. And in case you were going to
do the, I was getting Google
the
Maps
tour.
Yeah, anyway, it was just one of the, it was like a steps up to his house, up to the doorway, just sat on the steps.
I mean, I just want to ask a couple of questions and then get it, because I want to get rid of this mental image.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were going to say?
No, I was going to say that to say he did it all the time is a stretch. Yeah. Like, I saw it twice maybe.
White bread?
I don't know.
Is that in Tip
Top?
I don't know. I wasn't close enough to see if there was... I didn't know if it was a nine seed kind of vibe or like a raisin bread or, yeah, Helga's. Mm. It could have been artisan.
Baker's Delight.
Could have been cutting that loaf himself.
That would be just a bit too scratchy. On a wound, you know, you
want something true.
a little bit soft and gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do want a like tip top there, don't you? Yeah. You want a thick white.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yes.
This neighbour.
Yep.
I hate this mental image so much. I just want it to be done. Where was this neighbour sitting when he would do this?
Beanbag,
like
couch,
inside the house.
Inside the house.
Was it a child for you?
Child.
Or it was a child
watching TV. He'd be just gnawing on his knee. Get a bit of bread.
So
dab, dab.
He's inside the house. So you're outside the house.
No, I'm in his house. I'm his, I'm
in
his
the
neighbor.
House.
We're the same age.
Right. Okay. So this is like a kid you grew up with.
Yeah.
Gross.
He could be listening. Who knows?
Did you ever question that behavior?
No, we never mentioned it.
Really?
Never said, hey, what are you doing there?
You'd never think
that's a bit weird.
I just
But surely that was yeah.
Oh, that was, don't get me wrong,
at the time.
We talked about it amongst my other friends. But never to him did I say, hey, maybe put that away. Maybe get a napkin.
That's gross.
Somehow the way Josh described it was more pictorial and my mind went straight there.
He's a beautiful talker.
You know, Broden, it's not about me.
And you can't avoid that either.
Yeah,
like
I really went there.
If you're there watching TV and he's doing, you can't avoid that. Broden could have looked away.
You're not looking away from that. Are you kidding me?
Are you peering out the window at him?
No, like the bus. He's across the road from where the buses stopped. Okay. So, like,
He's putting on a show, do you think? He's waiting for the 317.
Well, I didn't see it the first time. It was the 517. I didn't see it the first time. And then the second time, someone said, come look, because he'd done it once.
I used to catch the 517.
There we go. It's a real.
This is insane.
Yeah.
The Bell Street Bus Company.
Dyson's, yep. Oh, no, wait. Bell Street. Yeah.
Oh. we caught you. I'm just going to take a stab because I want to move on because it's gross. I'm going to say Josh.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Jess.
I am so relieved it wasn't a grown-up. Yeah. Like, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. That's gross.
So awful.
That's so
children
gross.
Are disgusting.
Yeah.
In every way.
Yeah. He also, this is something else that used to disgust me and my brothers. Get a piece of bread and then roll it up in his hand for like half an hour making a dough and just eat the dough.
Well,
like
I used to do that when bread was fresh, but it didn't take me half an hour.
Half an hour, just rolling his hand like he was some criminal mastermind.
No. Okay, so I have the story about someone very well known in a loaf of bread.
Please tell.
And I feel like I'm not, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it because I don't know, firstly, if it would upset him. And secondly, I don't know whether it's,
we don't have to
slanderous.
Say, we don't have to say Adam Richards' name.
I don't know. It's not Adam Richards. I'll tell you and then you can decide whether
I can edit it out.
Legal issues.
I can edit it out.
We are all keen to hear.
I know. So years before, he was a very well-known comedian. Brilliant. He's brilliant. He's always been brilliant. My husband lived with Sam Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And he once, when they ran out of toilet paper, used a loaf of bread.
That's great.
Is it genius? And my husband, they were obviously poor students. Although I don't know if Sam was a student, but anyway, they were all poverty stricken. And my husband was outraged because it was his bread. It's like in a share household, you know, you got to keep your bread to yourself.
I don't care what you do with your bread. That's my bread.
That's amazing. Oh.
To Broden, was it Dave or was it myself who took a carload of our friends on a bucks party and was very nervous about driving them? We were totally cool all weekend until reversing out of the driveway at the very end of the weekend and almost drove us all off a cliff. Was that Dave or was that myself?
It was Dave. No, where, Dave?
Where was the bucks party?
Yep.
It was at a beach house.
Where?
Wye River.
Very nice.
Oh, beautiful, by the way. Yeah, my friend.
Yeah, nice. Good choice.
Friend's dad had a house. So we used to go there all throughout high school. And then it was another friend from school. We're the sort of three best mates that have, you know, stayed in touch, not with many other people. And yeah, we decided to go there for the bucks party.
And you were driving?
Yes.
The whole.
A car.
Okay.
Load of people.
Where?
Sorrento.
Not as nice.
So it's a nice beach house.
I mean, Sorrento's lovely, but not as nice as Wairoa.
Yeah, Sorrento. No. Yeah, you used to live in, you grew up in Tassie.
Didn't get my license till I was 30 years old.
Nah.
How old are you?
I'm 36.
How many years have you had your license?
6 years.
Oh, you're trying to trick you with that.
The math adds up.
Checks out.
All right. What was 19. The groom's name?
Jace.
Short for what?
Honestly, his name on the birth certificate is Jace.
And he's
quite a naughty kid at high school, and teachers would always be like, Jason. And he'd be like, no, just Jace.
No, oh, I'm so sorry, Jace. Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of, you sort of go, it gets the teacher on the back foot. They're like, oh, fuck you.
Really?
Yeah. And we got several teachers fired that way. Not true.
Fuck you, Jace. Yeah.
We had a kid in our school.
Got him again.
Kid in our school whose name was Elvis. And every time we had a relief teacher or a replacement teacher, they would say, what's your name? And he would say, Elvis. And they go, no, what's your real name? And they would get so angry at him and go, my real name is Elvis. And he'd get sent out of class so many times. He was also very naughty.
Classic Elvis.
He'd be a teacher.
Yeah.
You kids, you're pains in the ass.
Oh, I could never do it.
So we've got two people here who are picking different sides of Melbourne's Aries Inlet for their bucks party. And I'm interested as to why they've chosen your friend. What was his name?
His nickname is Snoop. His real name is John.
How long, when was, what year was this?
This was, I'd only just got my license. So it would have been, what's that, 6 years ago, 2012.
That's some quick math. Look at that quick math. Dave, I'm warming to you.
Oh, okay.
when was the wedding? Was it like the next weekend, the wedding, or was it months after? Or
I think it was 2 weeks before. And I emceed the wedding.
Was it a good wedding?
It was great.
Where was the wedding?
In Eltham.
Montsalvat?
No, not at Montsalvat.
I love a Montsalvat wedding.
No, my friend Tom, who's beach house's dad, he was a chef at Montsalvat. It was at Ballara Receptions is what it's called, on Main Road in Eltham. Beautiful. Oh.
A lot of receptions.
Is it Mudbrick?
I don't think it
Everything's
is.
Mudbrick. Yeah.
Montsalvat certainly is.
Were there peacocks?
Zero peacocks.
I don't know if I've said this on the show before. Peacocks. Oh. There are a lot of peacocks in Launceston where I lived for 5 years.
Mm.
And do you know what the sound a peacock makes?
No.
They sound like this. They go, suck me off, suck me off. They do.
Really?
They sound like someone yelling, suck me off. And there's a lot of them in the gorge at Launceston, which
it's
is
quite Launceston-y, isn't it, to say that?
Also a well-known beat. So I'm not sure if I was hearing peacocks or just the mating call of a lot of men in that area just going, hey, suck me off, suck me off.
You know, you
feel uncomfortable now,
bro.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't believe you. I'm going home to Google that. And now, what is going to come up when I Google, do peacocks say suck me off?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do peacock sound. I'll YouTube it now. Ask him some more questions. I'll get it up.
He'll get it up, bro.
And you emceed the wedding.
Yes.
Did they get you a gift?
No, I don't think so. No, I was part of the bridal party, so I got, you know, this little a glass that says wedding.
I wouldn't say that the MC is part of the bridal party.
Oh, no, I was a groomsman as well.
Oh, you doubled up.
Yes.
I feel like you could ask better questions.
Yeah, I'm...
Joe,
I'm not a detective.
Joe,
no, please, Joe, this is my representative.
How many people are in the car? And what?
Oh, yeah.
Suck me off. Suck me off.
Oh, my God.
No.
What is happening in your brain for you to think that says suck me off?
With the Tasmanian accent, okay. They sound...
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, okay. Joe, I think it's fair. You're coming in as my representative.
How many people are in the car?
Full car. So five.
Five.
My Volkswagen Golf.
Okay, and were you? What made you nervous about driving these people?
Well, because it's a 3-hour-ish drive with a stop, and they drank the whole way there.
Uh-huh.
And
do you drink?
Just, yeah, but not and drive.
So how old were you when you were doing?
This is last year.
So you've been driving for what? How old are you?
I'm 27, so I've been driving for about 6 years.
8 years, 6, 7, 8 years. Why would you be nervous about that? I don't know. I'm sus on that.
Oh, also because it's on the Great Ocean Road.
Yeah.
And the
I'm
last
with him.
Mate, I'm familiar with the Great Ocean Road.
I'm on Dave's side here.
Twists and the turns, and it was dark. And I'm quite a nervous
dark.
Driver.
It was nighttime.
It was dark.
Great Ocean Road is scary at night.
Joe, Dave wouldn't lie.
Wouldn't he?
He's a good man.
I'm a nervous driver.
Yeah.
Someone in the back seat, their wife was like, oh, I'm really nervous you guys are going to crash. And then he wrote back, it's all good. And then just sent a photo of me, and I'm just hunched over the steering wheel like an old lady, just sort of looking like I'm terrified for my life. And she wrote back, yeah, you'll be okay. Because I'm the most cautious of the group. And it was a two.
I think I've cracked the case open.
What do you think, Broden?
It's Dave. I love Dave wouldn't lie.
You are correct. Yes, it was Dave.
It was all on you going, oh, it was 5 years ago. Oh, I drove. Oh, I got you.
I'll have the record. No, I was cool as ice there. I really came through.
You were Val Kilmer in Top Gun.
I was.
No, because Dave really took us there. The minute you described yourself, now, hunched over.
On the driveway, reversing out, I had a full wheel off the edge of the driveway, and it was a big...
Did people get out of the car?
No, because Tom, the guy whose beach house it is, he's the most calm, casual dude ever. He never gets stressed by anything. We're driving back. He's giving me directions. He's like, yep, you're cool, you're good. And then he goes, oh, I nah, that's all right. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he's like, yeah, your back wheel's off. Like he, and then I started panicking. I'm like, what do you mean my back wheel's off? And he's like, you'll be okay. So I had to edge it back. Oh, and it took me about 300 goes to get down. It was very embarrassing.
G'day, mate. This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.